today on Real Radio.
Speaking about the future, not just from Isaiah's day, but for our day, looking ahead, what's in store for this world? What's in store? Hey, how about this? What's in store for the politics of this world? It's in Isaiah. What's in store for the environment? It's coming up. What's in store regarding war? And so tonight is one of those nights where it's like, are you kidding me?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called What Do You Know? Part 1, continues a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. So glad you could join us today. You know, in these last few chapters, Isaiah goes on to describe a future time when Jesus Christ returns to establish his kingdom here on earth. But whether we're looking at the past or the present or things yet to come, we're reminded of God's amazing love and patience that he has towards us and towards the nation of Israel. In Isaiah chapter 60, we learned that God will always provide a way to restore us. We are never beyond God's reach to save us. The nation of Israel is our prime example of God's blessing and restoration. Israel always prospered when they followed God. Even when they turned their backs on him and were suffering, in the end, God in his mercy restored them. And he's going to do exactly the same for us when we come to him. So today in Isaiah chapter 61, Pastor Jack tells us that there's a danger in not knowing what's going to happen in the future. When we fail to consider the full revelation of God's word, we miss the full message of salvation and the final outcome of God's plan for the world. And now in his lesson called What Do You Know? Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Thank you for your word, and Lord, I'm so excited. Lord, Father God, that you would just speak to us powerfully, please. I know you will, because your word is before us. Your Holy Spirit is present in our lives as believers. And Father, everything is ready for us to grow. So Lord, fill us up. Lord, just fill us up tonight that we might be radicalized for Jesus. If that happens, we will be the most loving, the most compassionate, the most engaged, the most truthful people the world will ever see. So Father, do that to us. We pray in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. So turn to Isaiah chapter 61 tonight. Friends, family, people, Isaiah 60, 61, 62, 63, all the way out to 66 is the reason why we got into the book of Isaiah in the first place. I mean, the whole book is awesome, but the end of the book is amazing because it's speaking about the future, not just from Isaiah's day, but for our day, looking ahead. What's in store for this world? What's in store? Hey, how about this? What's in store for the politics of this world? It's in Isaiah. What's in store for the environment? It's coming up. What's in store regarding war, death, sin? Hey, what's in store for Satan? Yeah. All between now and the close of Isaiah chapter 66. So if we're studying chapter 61 tonight of the book of Isaiah, do you know what that means, right? It means that you need to turn right now to Luke chapter 4. That's what that means. Oh, man, I'm telling you, you turn to Luke chapter 4. Just keep your finger in Isaiah, but go to Luke chapter 4. And while you're turning there, I've had the privilege of being with you on these Wednesday nights for the last several years. And these nights have been, in this book, I think, encouraging, because Isaiah, as you well know, is the evangelical prophet. You have enjoyed the fact that out of Isaiah, we've been unearthing these verses, reading through the book and coming across these verses, and you thought that those verses originated in the New Testament. But the New Testament was only regurgitating what the Old Testament had, and specifically the book of Isaiah. And so tonight is one of those nights where it's like, are you kidding me? We were talking about what I'm about to say to you this evening before service, and I don't want it to be lost on any of us tonight. I'm going to ask you to hold up your Bible for a second. You got it open. It's either open to Isaiah or Luke. Hold it up, and you can hold up your iPad there. You can hold up your phone. That's cheating, but okay. It's just not so romantic to hold up the piece of a plastic like that. But anyway, look at this. We're going to be starting Isaiah 61 by starting in Luke chapter 4. Why? Because the very, very chapter 61 that you have open in your hand tonight is literally where Jesus Christ went to in his inaugural announcement of his ministry. Jesus, 2,000 years ago, picked up the prophet Isaiah, that at that time would have been nearly 750 years old, available in the synagogue on the day that Jesus Christ was there in Nazareth. We'll talk about it in a moment. And it is absolutely awesome. Think about that, especially you young people. This Bible just didn't come off the press last week. This is God's eternal word, and the Old Testament, for example, was available to the Jew in the synagogue of his community for thousands of years. You can't find any other religious author, book, movement of all human time to compare against the accuracy, the authenticity, the Bible being absolutely reliable. Oh my goodness, don't have the time to get into it now. But did you see the news this week regarding what Los Alamos National Laboratory was part of the discovery in Israel? They've been working. Did you see some of that? You got to see it, about Sodom and Gomorrah and the archaeological discovery. Holy cow. Wow. But we're not going to talk about that tonight. We're in something else this evening. So listen, the message that we're going to be taking on for these next few times together is entitled this: What Do You Know? That's the title. What do you know as a believer? Well, Isaiah 61 begins for us in Luke chapter 4. Look it down at verse 16. Luke 4:16. So he came to Nazareth, Jesus, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. Stop right there. Didn't we just kind of go through this impromptu on communion night? Was it communion night, you guys? So listen, you say, well, we just studied this. Yeah, you know what? It's kind of bizarre, because that came off the top of my head last week. This is where we are in the study. So what does it mean? When the Holy Spirit repeats things, that means something's up. And I think it's pretty cool that something's up and it's Christmas time. Why? Because look at what we're reading. Watch what we're hearing here. Look at this. And so he stood up to read, exactly as was supposed to happen for any Jewish male of that village on a Shabbat, on a Sabbath. Just so happens that as the Jews rotate, as I mentioned a week ago, as the Jews rotate, it would have fallen upon Jesus' turn to read. The week before was some other guy. The week after would be some other guy. This is the scripture reading for the day in the synagogue around the world, and Jesus happened to be there. The synagogue of his hometown. Don't you love how God works? Now look, it says in verse 17, and he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Verse 19, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And in Luke chapter 4, verse 19 ends with a period. Verse 20 says, then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant, and he sat down. Because remember from last week, you guys, teachers sat down to teach. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. So all bore witness of him and marveled at the gracious words which came or proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is this not Joseph's son? He said to them, you will surely say this proverb to me, physician, heal yourself. Whatever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also in your own country. Then he said, that's regarding unbelief. Then he said, assuredly, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you truly, many widows. Okay, hang on to your seats. Now put yourself in the synagogue. You're Jewish. Okay. He just announced to them, you guys, hello, you guys are watching Bible prophecy fulfilled right now. This is written about me. And then he tells them, surely you're gonna say to me, physician, heal yourself. You're not gonna believe this, are you? Now, being Jews, he says, but I tell you truly, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a great famine throughout all the land. But to none of them was Elijah sent except to Zarephath in the region of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. Now, I'll tell you why in a moment, but at that, scowls have just formed on all their faces. The hair on their neck is standing up. And they might even start at this moment starting to grind their teeth a little bit at what he just said. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elijah the prophet, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian. One question to you. Do you think Naaman the Syrian is a Jew or a Gentile? He's a Gentile. So now we definitely have teeth grinding, and we definitely have hair high up on the neck standing, because this young man who grew up in our town, Joseph's son, is announcing that the scripture is talking about him. And then he tells us that we're not going to believe him. And now he insults us by saying that God was at work in the lives of a woman in Zarephath. That makes her a Gentile. And naming the general of the Syrian forces a Gentile? You're telling us that God is going to work with Gentiles? This is all going on in the minds of those in the synagogue on this day, 2,000 years ago. Verse 28 says, so all those in the synagogue, when they had heard these things, they were filled with wrath and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and they led him to the brow of the hill on which the city was built, that they might throw him down over the cliff. Look at this. I think this is verse 30, supernatural. Then passing through the midst of them, he went his way. By the way, how many of you, have you been with us to the precipice at Nazareth? If you've been there, you could see exactly how this would have happened. Nazareth, first of all, is built on a hill. It's on a slope, but it has things that shoot out like this, like a slight plateau. The plateau might be about as big as the sanctuary. And let me tell you, no fence, no nothing. You walk to the edge, you fall off, you're dead. It's a long way down. And they went to do this to Jesus. Luke chapter 4, Jesus opens up his ministry out of the reading of Isaiah chapter 61. So here's my question to you tonight. If the ancient Jews recognized that Jesus Christ was launching his ministry that day in front of them out of Isaiah chapter 61, and if the people did not believe exactly in what he was saying, right? Listen, if they didn't believe, so he's announcing he's the Messiah, that's what he's saying. If they don't believe that, they've got the Bible in front of them, and they have one who is saying, this is the fulfillment. Pause right there with my questioning. At what time is it a good time for the Messiah to arrive in Israel and reveal himself? Because the Old Testament prophecies had told Israel the Messiah would come to you. So the Messiah announces his arrival, and they start to get upset because this Messiah that's standing in front of them is alluding to the fact that he's the Messiah of the whole world. See, they had taken the scriptures and they had whittled them down to themselves. They would not evangelize. They would not reach out to the lost. They didn't care about the lost. It was their club. They had this thing going on. And if you were not a Jew, then you were a Gentile and you were only fit for hell. That's what they viewed, and that's how they viewed the world in Jesus' day. He comes and makes the announcement that God is the God of the whole earth. Look, allow me to put it this way. God is saying, I'm the God of the whole earth, and I wanted Israel to be my vehicle and the Jew to be my evangelist to send that message to the uttermost parts of the earth. That was God's original plan. That's what God's desire was. That's what his ministry was for them. Jesus announces it. You know what should have happened? They should have stood up and went, yeah, woo! Let's get this going. Tell us what to do. We want to be involved. Wow. Everything they had hoped for was standing in front of them. And they began to gnash on their teeth. They began to run them down the cliff and desiring to throw them off. I think if Jesus Christ came back today and said what he said, it happened all over again. Wouldn't it be great if Jesus came in? What if we lived back in the, if we lived back then? I mean, none of us would, right? We wouldn't throw him off the cliff, but there'd be people in the culture that would throw him off the, they want to throw him off the cliff. The human heart's the same. The tragedy is, as we begin to look at this, be very careful of short-sightedness. Standing right in front of them was the one, but they couldn't see down the road to match things up. So here we go. Look at this. Isaiah chapter 61. Look at verse 1. It says there, sound familiar? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Verse 2, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Is there a period there, people, or a comma? Comma. Comma in Isaiah, period in Luke chapter 4. Why? That's the question tonight. Why? What do you know? In that statement, God's prophetic word and his purposes are truly awesome. When Isaiah records the prophecy given to him that makes up for us chapter 61, when Jesus picked it up in the synagogue that day, it had a comma. He's reading Isaiah. He stops at the comma. He hands the scroll back to the attendant. Luke puts a period there because Jesus stopped. In the original Hebrew, Old Testament, it's not a period. Jesus made it a period by stopping. The difference between the comma and the period is thousands of years. And the difference between paradise and disaster. Why? Look at how the verse continues, verse 2. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. A reference to the judgment of God upon the earth. That comma held back the judgment of God. Isn't that amazing? Think of it. What would have happened if Jesus would have kept reading? Look, he's God in skin. He's the Word in skin. Think of it. He would have ushered in the age of judgment. At his pause, the gateway door opened up for salvation to the ends of the earth. All engineered by God, all known to God. Not to us, not to them at the time. But he stops reading and the day of vengeance. That means, listen, the next time, this is key. If there's any eschatologist in the room, students of Bible prophecy, this is a critical point that I want you to hear. Many people, justifiably so, I get it. A lot of people argue these things about Bible prophecy. Oh, I believe this and I believe the other thing. And whatever, everybody has their belief. Just make sure your belief is the most biblically grounded belief possible. Forget about denominations. Forget about this person said this and this person said that. Let the Bible speak for itself. Here's what we know for sure. Is that Jesus stopped at a comma. If he would have kept reading, it would have been the end of the world as we know it. Which means this. Listen, class. Who is Jesus speaking to? What audience is it?
Jews.
Who was Isaiah speaking to? What kind of audience?
Jews.
After the comma and before the vengeance of our God, it has been 2,000 years as of tonight, right? Think of it. During the 2,000 years, the gospel has gone to the ends of the earth, and according to earlier chapters of the book of Isaiah, Gentiles have come to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We are them. Jesus said it this way, other sheep I have that are not of this flock. That's you.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a message called What Do You Know? Part 1. Thank you for joining us today. And now is the time to know that Jesus is your Savior. Would you come to Him today? What Do You Know? Part 1 is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. A series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, Pastor Jack has a book of the month for March. It's called Living in the Power of the Holy Spirit by Charles Stanley. Now, a lot of you already know Charles Stanley from his television and radio broadcasts, or maybe some of his books. But in Living in the Power of the Holy Spirit, Charles Stanley reminds us that the Holy Spirit is the promise of the Father for all who believe in His Son, Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit was sent to guide us and protect us from temptation. Stanley also removes much of the mystery surrounding the Holy Spirit and offers new hope to believers who may have some trouble understanding this member of the Holy Trinity. Again, Pastor Jack's Book of the Month for March is called Living in the Power of the Holy Spirit by Charles Stanley. It's available at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You know, many of us have a lot of questions and opinions about the culture of our day, especially here in California. How can we give an answer for the reason of hope that's within us? And how can we give a biblical worldview of what's happening right now, when so many are becoming so combative? One way is to subscribe to Pastor Jack's YouTube channel and watch his Engage the Culture series. In this series, Pastor Jack gives an answer to some of the most controversial questions we as Christians are facing today. That includes, what does the Bible say about feminism, transgenderism, gun control, border control, and abortion? Many will reject the truth, but like the Apostle Paul, God will strengthen and encourage us through the power of the Holy Spirit and through fellowship with other believers. Together, the more we know, the more our influence will matter. So take a look at Pastor Jack's YouTube channel called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. There are so many videos to choose from to help you grow in the Lord. And when you subscribe, don't forget to tap that notification button for the latest videos as they become available. You can also access his YouTube channel from our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And if you need to get a hold of us, call us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.